Couldn't get enough of New Music Monday on WZND? Welcome to Bonus Track, featuring the talents from WZND's music department.
Neon Pill by Casey Elephant.
Celebrity Deep Dives.
The Rise and Fall of a Midwest Princess by Chapel Rowan.
Songs and artists that are overrated or overhated.
Sabrina Carpenter's new album, Short and Sweet.
And more. Bonus Track starts right now, only on WZND.com.
Welcome back to Bonus Track. You are here with Ashton,
Gavin,
and Raiden.
Today we're going to be doing a deep dive of the career of Tyler, the Creator, starting from the top, going all the way to the most recent. So, what are we going to begin with?
I mean, there's so much you can start with here. We've got a movie score. We've got three TV shows. I mean, like, Loiter Squad? Come on, get out of here. We got two brands. We got Golf Wang, three stores with that. We got Golf LaFleur. Odd Future, of course. We've got Frank Ocean's career, Earl Sweatshirt, the internet, Left Brain, Taco, etc. Dude, we got so many. And then we got Camp Flogna Music Festival. We've got two brand deals. We got Vans and Converse. There's a lot of places to start here, but I think we should start with this first mixtape.
Yeah, there's no shortage of information on Tyler, the Creator. That first mixtape, though, so influential at the time it came out immediately, garnered attention from a lot of big artists, you know, chiefly Kanye West.
Absolutely. It really did, too. And the thing about his first mixtape is that it really didn't sound like much of the music that was coming out at that time. Coming out in 2009, a lot of the music was very this Lil Wayne-esque. A lot of Young Money was huge at the time. Yeah. Drake was starting to make his big rise into
pop
music.
It was Wiz Khalifa.
Wiz Khalifa, that kind of thing. It was a lot of very industrial sounds with these artists kind of just talking about their money and everything like that. And you have Tyler, who came in with his first mixtape and really just shift the narrative on that. So it's interesting.
Things got dark, but it was very like creatively promising. Like off bat, you have like some influences on there that you listen to it and you're like, what, where is this going? Like what's in the future here?
Yeah. I mean, especially you're considering you're right. Depending on who you ask, you're right at the peak or the end of like bling rap.
Exactly.
And you're having someone come in and just saying the most inhumane things you've ever heard in your life over the darkest beat ever.
Yeah.
And I think that worked really well for him early on in his career when you consider what comes next and how he blossoms from that.
Yeah, and that's going to be a common theme throughout this. And you can hear through each Tyler project how he sort of doesn't exactly outright tease it, but you can hear how he takes what he's done in a current project and takes that and molds it into something new later on. So there's certain songs on here like Odd Toddlers or Pigs Fly or VCR Wheels. Is a good one. But those where you can hear like the instrumentation and he gets a little more vulnerable on some of these, but he retains that razor sharp edge that would feed into his next album as well.
Yeah, yeah. So then after that, we get into Goblin here. And I mean, this is like peak rebellious Tyler era. You got songs on there like Radicals. Was Radicals on there?
Was that
Future's first?
You have Radicals, you have She.
Yeah,
which
is arguably still
one of his bigger songs. You hear it everywhere still.
Yeah, that
Frank Ocean feature,
man. Yeah.
That's still one of my favorites by him, like, period. It's such a great track. And obviously Yonkers is what really garnered a lot of attention. The music video for that with, like, the cockroaches had people like Snoop Dogg talking about it, being like, this guy is weird.
Yeah.
This was weird. And really, you're getting a lot of people. It's a lot of notability early on in his career.
Yeah, but most importantly, you have the rise, at this time, you've got the rise of Odd Future as, like, this crazy up-and-coming thing. And they weren't really, like, accepted into, I guess, like, the world of, like, mainstream rap or, like, mainstream really anything. So they were doing these sideshows. They were doing these concerts and these shows with, like trash talk and, like, punk bands and, like, it was all like skating and like
it was like literally like counterculture rap.
It was
a lot of it was focused early on like shock value. Like they were trying to say the craziest things they could on songs to get the attention of people.
Right. And the thing about Odd Future, which is super interesting, is because each individual member at the time. They all had their own unique flares, but they all put it together in this very cohesive, like, way that made them what they were. So, for example, Frank Ocean was great with his singing capabilities, but he didn't really do that in the early days of Odd Future.
Yeah.
Most of his stuff, he was rapping right alongside Tyler, and Tyler had that dark, raspy voice. He is known for the shock value of it all. And then you had Earl Sweatshirt, who would come in, and he would play into that as well. But
and every time, without fail, would have the best verse on the song.
Yeah. I would kind of – I was always big into
the
Earl.
The oldie verse
yeah.
is insane. One of the best verses – ever.
What I always interested me the most about Odd Future and we're seeing it still now is how there are members in Odd Future who don't even rap, who were just like
Jasper.
Hey, it's Jasper, not even a rapper.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's only on the beat to make his racks grow faster, dude.
Yeah,
yeah.
But now you see like the outreach of Odd Future becoming like these people are acting in shows that are winning like Emmys.
Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You gotta think about Lionel, who plays Richie in The Bear.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's insane. He's on a show that's won an insane amount of awards, and he has a great performance throughout it. So there's so much interesting stuff with Odd Future to talk about. You have so many different careers started from this in music and in just the entertainment industry as a whole.
Yeah, what's funny is even then, like, you listen to, like, an Odd Future tape, and it's all over the place in, like, a fun and, like, good way. But then you go into, like, each of their solo careers and, like when they're doing a like, collective project, it all sounds good together. Like, each person, even though all their solo stuff is completely different. Like Frank's making, like, American Wedding. And, like, Tyler's making, like, Tron Cat.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It's, like, completely, like, it couldn't be more different, but then they all managed to like make it sound good.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, like you said, you have Frank making these soulful, beautiful love songs over these slow beats, singing his behind off, and then you have Tyler rapping about the worst things you've ever heard a person do to another person.
Yeah, yeah, no, you know? For real.
Exactly. And like going back to Goblin, if you look at it, there's a lot of songs on there where yes, he's playing into that he's playing into that shock value, that razor sharp edge that he always had. But there's a lot of songs on there that you can kind of see where his pen game is really starting to develop. He's telling stories and narratives, and he has characters in these tracks and in these songs that he's showing you their lives going through it. Songs like She, like we talked about, that's he's telling you a narrative or a story through it. Nightmare as well, he's doing it. Like, there's a lot of examples on here, and the production on it, too, follows what he's doing. You can see his kind of musical and creative outlook that later he would employ to make these big, huge movies almost in audio, but you can see the blueprint of what his potential was early on here.
Yeah, and what's crazy, seeing the evolution of, like you said, these characters and, like, the these like sort of jazz influenced like beats come back on his next album Wolf.
Right.
I gotta say Wolf for me is my favorite of the early Tyler albums.
Oh yeah,
I'd have to agree.
Wolf is the most fun I think I've had listening to a Tyler record.
Wolf might be I don't know, because I feel like with Tyler there's like a distinctive like difference. Like I feel like everyone's got their favorite album and everyone's got their favorite era, and I can't tell if Wolf is both or just era for me, but the like aesthetic he formed around that with his music videos and like Loiter Squad and everything, it was like the most fun I've ever seen someone have creatively with a project.
Yeah, and I mean you have to think about how like culturally important Wolf was. You had guys wearing Supreme and like these striped t-shirts,
yeah,
and the Vans, the style that came with Wolf, everybody was trying to dress like Tyler. Everybody thought they were
and
cool.
And he cornerstoned that. Yeah,
how could we forget the Supreme? Yeah, the Supreme predates Wolf with Tyler. I think he was wearing that in, like,
oh, for sure.
In Goblin. but, yeah, like, the people do not give him nearly enough credit for that. Like, and I mean, he's moved on to like higher fashion. I mean, he's isn't he like helping Fro with like some like Louis Vuitton
he
stuff
is,
now?
He is.
But like that, he has his paws everywhere, man.
Yeah.
Like in every industry, fashion, music, TV shows, movie, like it's like everywhere. He has some sort of creative input that's like good. I don't know.
Yeah, it's really crazy. If you see a guy right now, like, outside wearing, like, Dickies and, like, Converse, you can almost be like, I bet you $50 this guy can name any Tyler the Creator song.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, I bet I could name a Tyler the Creator album and he could pick me, say a song off of it.
Yeah. And that's just, like, how huge Tyler was at the time, and this wasn't even close to his peak. This was one of Tyler's, probably his first big foyer into the mainstream. Goblin had those moments on there. You had
a lot of insane features.
A lot of insane features.
That's your first
crazy
feature from Pharrell.
Features.
Yeah,
with IFHY.
Yeah, exactly. that's when the Pharrell. I mean, Tyler said a bunch of times that, like, In Search Of by Nerd was like one of the most influential things, like, he ever heard. But, like, seeing him this early in his career get, like, have Pharrell become, like, his real life, like, he's, like, his creative, like, apprentice. He's in the studio with him working on stuff. I think it was, like, Illegal Civ did a documentary. I can't remember if it was Wolf or Cherry Bomb, but you see them in the studio, like, working together.
Right. Well, and even on here, too, like, as I was saying with Goblin, I really feel like on Wolf, his overall, like, structure and craftsmanship of songs kind of came more into fruition. You kind of see that as you go through. But he gets very personal on here for probably one of the first times in his career where he has songs dedicated to more of his personal life, and he's not playing up this character so much that it overcrowds the kind of personal subject in it. So just looking at the track list, there's songs on there like Awkward, 48, Answer.
Answer's
a big one. Answer's a big one. We'll circle back there.
We're definitely going to get back to Answer because Answer's been big in media right now, especially with this new release.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, I'll get into that in a bit.
For sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. And my favorite Tyler song of all time lands on Wolf, too. IFHY. So
that's a top three one for me.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
So I guess we have nothing more to do now than to move forward to his most controversial release ever.
Oh, don't even get me started on this
Cherry
album.
Cherry Bomb. I will say, I am one of the people who is not a fan of Cherry Bomb.
I am absolutely opposed to what Ashton just said. I think it's one of his best.
Really?
Yes.
I find moments throughout the album that I like, but I really wish, I think you could have gone back to the drawing board on a lot of the concepts, ideas, and most overall, the production choices.
Listen, yeah. The production choices are just so wacky. It almost makes it borderline unlistenable for me.
Oh, what? That's crazy. Okay, yeah. I understand saying, like, maybe Pilot is, like, not very good, but
I gotta say that the run at the beginning of the album, the first stretch of, like, 6 to 7 songs are almost unlistenable. Like,
Buffalo?
They're not good.
The song that, on that track list that we can't say on air, you said it's terrible?
You know what? I think that's just, that's kind of where Tyler, that's my problem with Cherry Bomb as a whole, and it kind of just encapsulates in that song. There's a great idea and concept behind it, and I know what he's trying to do, but production-wise, it just doesn't work for me. It just doesn't.
All right, since it's related to Cherry Bomb, I'm going to jump forward in this timeline really quick. So, like, around the Igor era, he put Cherry Bomb back in the public eye because he felt like its instrumentation went, like, kind of unnoticed because of, like, some of the other choices on the album. So then he released, like, this all the instrumentals from the album, and once again, the song that
the seventh track on the record
has one of, like, the nicest instrumentations I've ever heard on a Tyler album.
And that's my thing, too, is that it's not so much that the beats themselves were bad on this album. That's not really the problem. It's more how he put down his vocals and all the distortion. I feel like he was trying to lean into a little more of his Yeezus kind of thing. He wanted to be out there and abstract, and he definitely was with this album. Sounds like an album I've never heard before, and I've never heard since. And it comes down to mostly just, like, the distortion on his vocals, the kind of, like, direction that he goes in. And I know on some songs it works.
Death Cab?
When he gets one. Oh. And, like, Okaga, I think how you say it?
Yeah.
California. I like that one. You know?
It's definitely hard to argue that Smuckers on here isn't a banger.
Smuckers is top three.
Front to back, Smuckers is a great track.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I will also say that a lot of what throws me off about this album is the features. I don't like the majority of the features on here. I think that they could have gone without, or they could have been done way better. I don't like any of the features in the front half of the album. The Schoolboy Q feature on, I think it's Run, is fine.
The Brown Stains of Darkeese Latifah. Guys, that's fire. That's fire.
Yeah, you're losing me.
Whoa, what? This is crazy to me. You don't like that there's Charlie Wilson on here, dude.
Well, of course I love Charlie Wilson. I'm saying that a majority of the features on this record are not good. Obviously, both the features on Smuckers are fantastic. Both Kanye and Lil Wayne fit in perfectly in track. It's such a great, combination of people to have on a song.
They do.
But outside of that, I just cannot find any reason to go back to this album, especially when you compare it to his others. I think that you liking it might also be like a little bit of like everybody hates it kind of thing.
What?
Let's be honest here a little bit. I think this might be a little bit of a counterculture.
This was, guys, they're attacking me right now. They're attacking me right now. I swear to you. I'll be honest. The reason I like this album so much is because it's the first Tyler album release that I was there to witness.
That's fair.
That came out.
For me, that's Flower Boy.
Okay.
Yeah. I remember when this album came out, and I remember listening to it probably a year later because I was a little young for it. But I do remember the era of it and all that, but Flower Boy was my first one. One thing I do want to bring up, though, and we forgot to bring it up for the last one, is that Tyler's number 10 track, always. He always goes a big magnum opus. This is the big cornerstone of the album, and he did it on Wolf with Bimmer, Parties Never... Beamer. What is it called?
Beamer. Like BMW?
Yeah. I forgot what the one on Wolf was called. I should probably have that up. But
is it Parties and Over, Campfire, Bimmer?
Yeah, that one.
Man.
That's a good one.
And then the Cherry Bomb, the 10th track on Cherry Bomb is a pretty decent track.
It is. And
I'm willing to say that.
It's interesting because here you can, I feel like this is...
It's, what's it called? It's Young, Perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great one.
That song is a banger. I will be honest about
that. So I feel like with Cherry Bomb overall... It may not be the most complete and greatest thing, in my opinion, front to back. But Tyler needed to make this album in order to transition his career into what he did later. And you can hear that through the 10th title track, where he's still talking about some of these, shock value, razor edge things, but he does it in a way with a lot of layered vocals, a beautiful instrumental. And that really reminds me of his next album, which is a huge cornerstone with Flower Boy.
Oh, yeah. So...
Flower Boy, to me, I think it doesn't get enough love looking back.
I think
it got a little overshadowed by his next record.
I would agree with that.
This is a fantastic record.
Beautiful.
Front to back. You have his best features here. I think it's hard to argue that.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous how good the feature... I mean, Call Me If You Get Lost also has some fantastic features, but I think this is his best feature list.
I would agree.
ASAP Rocky on Who Dat Boy.
Ooh,
oh, Lord.
Nasty.
And it extends beyond that, too. I mean, Lil Wayne on the minute-long song Droppin' Seeds is fantastic. 911 Mr. Lonely with Frank Ocean as well.
And Steve Lacy.
You can't forget Kelly Olchis on See You Again.
Wait, how did we forget to mention Steve Lacy was an Odd Future?
Yeah.
I totally forgot about that as well.
The internet is an offshoot of Odd Future.
Yeah, that's true. Sid?
Yeah.
Shout out, man.
Shout out. Mm-hmm. I also really love Boredom on this record.
Oh, Rex?
Rex Orange County.
That was wild.
Rex Orange County gave a stellar performance on this album. Twice, actually, on Boredom, Ford as well.
Yeah.
Boredom was my most played song on Spotify for, I think, the year this album came out and the year after that.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean...
You just know he was wearing crazy sweaters.
Bro, I was wearing crazy striped shirts. I was selling out Tommy Hilfiger, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I had about every color of Vans.
Didn't you have, five pairs of Gulf of Floors?
Or something wild like that? I still do, and I have more than that now.
Oh, my.
Yeah, overall, Flower Boy, I think, is his most concise album. It's his most narratively driven. You can hear the progression of the tracks as you move through it.
And this is where the majority of the album is all... I mean, there's a lot of vulnerability on this one.
I feel like... Before that, there was little sprinkles of vulnerability and all of his other stuff. But then Flower Boy, it's like, I mean, he really gets into it.
Yeah, his sexuality is really explored in this record. He talks a lot about, liking guys and gals.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's on the song Pothole, I believe.
Yes.
One of my favorite lines on the entire album is he's talking about, Will My Day Ones turn into 3/4 because of track 7? And track 7 is Garden Shed, where he openly comes out. And this is the moment. We all kind of knew it before, but this is where he, like, officially was open about it. That's just another testament to, like, how much better, one, his writing is getting throughout, two, his just overall ability to put these songs together that still, even though this sounds completely different than his first mixtape and Goblin did, still sounds completely different than everything else that's in the scene at the time it came out.
And what's really, like, amazing about Tyler is in all of his albums, you can see him meticulously craft the order of the album and make its listenability very important, that you listen to it front to back, which I love about an artist.
Exactly.
I like to sit down and listen to a whole album and it all to be cohesive, and he does it perfectly. He has transitions from song to song. I think right here it shines a ton on Flower Boy, and I think when you look at his later releases, you can look back at Flower Boy and be like, this is where he mastered this.
Yeah, exactly. True. Exactly.
And this is his fourth album at this point, and he's made, like, a name for himself, maybe not exactly among the industry, but with, like, I mean, he's got a crazy cult following at this point, but it wasn't until then he gets his first radio single with See You Again.
Yeah.
Was that his first radio single?
Yes.
Interesting.
I remember there's a video of him, like, hearing it come on in the car and crying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember seeing that.
That's
me,
like, be a crazy
which
moment.
That really? One's also probably up there for me still.
Really?
I love that track.
If that comes on, it's not one of those that I'm like, oh, skip. It's overplayed.
I mean, I've heard it a lot of times now.
But it's
because
still
it was
fantastic.
So popular, even now on, like, TikTok and, like, back in those days, like, early TikTok days, Musical.ly days even, that was really big, but I still love that track.
Mm-hmm.
But I think right here we're seeing his creativity really start to thrive, and that's going to take you to the next record. His most, in my opinion, his most creatively ambitious album, and my favorite, Igor.
Igor.
This is he creates a character in this album and tells a beautiful story from front to back with songs that are so different from anything he's put out before. He has fully reached, and right here, this is, for me, his creative peak. Not that he's still not as creative as he was then. It's fantastic here. I love, there's not a song that I could find on this record that I dislike.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much a perfect album. You can also tell that, like, post-Flower Boy, he was, like, I don't know, he's, like, in some other country, like, crate digging, like, finding some crazy things to sample, and, like...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the samples on this are fantastic, and you could really hear, as I've been saying throughout this whole podcast, how Tyler's instrumentation of it, of each of these songs individually, is just getting better and better with each release. There are songs on here that legitimately sound like nothing I've heard before. The end of Gone Gone Thank You is just... beautiful.
Are we still friends?
Are we still friends?
Lord. The end of this record is insane.
I can't believe he made that song.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful song, especially that ending verse where he comes through with all that energy and it's like, don't say goodbye.
See
you later. Oh, man.
It's so,
dude.
And it's also so funny. Jack White plays the guitar on that.
Does he really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I've got to say, I love the story here. The whole album's about a queer relationship and the failing of it, and it's beautiful. It's about the like, remorseful feelings you have from front to back. It's fantastic.
But the thing about what he does with the narrative on this is that he takes you through each stave of falling in love of it. You start out with Earthquake, where he meets this person, and he's just... His whole world is shattered by it. His earth quakes. And literally. And then that runs into, I think I'm falling in love. And that's literally what he thinks he's doing. And then eventually... moves down the album, and you can hear him, A Boy Is a Gun.
He starts to kind of go crazy.
He starts going crazy, and he's saying, like, this person now controls me.
Maybe he's also his puppet.
He is his puppet as well. He controls him.
I always forget how, like, well put together the story is on this. Also, I have to bring it up because we kind of skipped past it. The Playboy Cardi feature on the opening track.
I was going to ask about features, yeah.
Or not
it's
the,
not the
yeah,
opening. It's second not, track.
It's Igor seems the opening track.
Yeah, but
on Earthquake.
Is like
Uzi on that, though?
On what?
Ooh, now I'm wondering.
On Igor's theme. I'm pretty sure Uzi's like the voice that's like
singing
on that.
It's fine. No, it's on Earthquake, though, it is Playboy Cardi, which is great feature.
Man.
Ain't nobody wrote.
Yo. Yeah, what? How does, like, that's one thing that's always impressed me about him is that he'll have, like, crazy features. He'll have, like, Roy Ayers, and then he'll have Playboy Cardi.
Exactly.
And it's like, and it sounds good, and it works, and I can't believe it.
And another thing about the features with Tyler is that he seems to bring the best out of every artist, and even artists that don't make as conceptual of kind of music. Playboi Carti, for example. We'll move on later, but NBA YoungBoy, he did that with YoungBoy. Everybody was shocked that he made YoungBoy sound fantastic.
And,
you know,
I've got to say that's not an easy feat.
No, it's really not. It's really not. He can't do it by himself.
Yeah, but this record obviously has Jared Carmichael doing like the, what's it called? Like the introductions to songs and stuff,
yeah.
And, like,
oh,
telling
yeah,
the story.
True.
And that's about like their friendship that they've had and the kind of oddities of their relationship.
Yeah, and then what was later that show he had on like what I think HBO?
Yeah,
right?
Where he was like.
Yeah, yeah. You would have thought that he wrote the album about Tyler.
Yeah, he admitted that he had feelings for Tyler, and Tyler just kind of like laughed in his face.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was wild.
He was like, "That's wild."
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Man, that's tough.
This is also where we see Tyler get into like get super like luxurious. Like this
oh,
is the
sure.
start of like Golf LaFleur, like his luxury line of stuff, and he's making like. He's wearing these suits and this wig and this like this crazy image that he has. He's going to these like different countries and I don't know, man. And then that theme kind of stays through. Call Me If You Get Lost. I mean, like, I would say if the base theme for Igor is love, then Call Me If You Get Lost is travel.
Yeah, yes. Travel or just like money.
Money.
Like, it's just an
it's
album,
his victory lap.
It really is.
Because, I mean, that's like after he wins the Grammy, DJ Khaled's pressed.
Really,
that's the funniest beef of all time.
I completely forgot
by the way.
About that beef.
Yep. It's so good.
DJ Khaled was like, I don't even understand
this,
what he's saying on that
mystery
album.
Music.
Yeah. You hear my music in the barbershop, and yeah, you know yeah. it. You turn it up, everyone like it.
And what's awesome about Igor too is he recorded a lot of this album in Italy.
Did he?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that makes sense
because he's really like hitting that like. That like crazy, like I'm above this, you know. I'm an artist.
And on it, I mean, he is.
And he is. Yeah, this is like I said. It is hard for me to disagree with anybody that tries to say that this is their favorite record by him, because for me, it is. There, I could. This is probably the record that I come back to the most of his.
I would say that this is his most concise and probably well put together album, save for maybe his newest one, which we will get to at some point, but. In terms of just the overall structure and the way he put this together and the story flows and the music flows and the lyrics all flow along with it, he really just did a great job. Other notable features on What's Good, Kanye comes yep. in and just gives 30 seconds of just beauty. I mean, I don't know. I it's hard to find a down point on this entire project.
What I think is also pretty awesome about this album, while it does have a few features, this is definitely the least features that he's
yeah,
had on a record.
True.
I think so, too.
And he lets his artistry shine on this one.
Oh, man.
The beats are insane. His vocal performances on it are crazy.
Well, he showed off that he can make a pop record with Igor, and then he switched it completely. He's like, he's back to rapping. There's some interview of him talking about that. But, yeah, he gets on here and, like... I mean, he kills it. Then we got the deluxe album that came out too. And honestly, like one of the most underrated Tyler songs is Stuntman with Vince Staples.
I love Stuntman.
It's so good.
That song is so much fun. Call Me If You Get Lost is probably for me, the most fun Tyler record. Like
that's
if I want to bounce around, I turn it on because it doesn't have those same dark and vulgar lyrics that you have on like those crazy like out of pocket, just like where did that come from? Like
yeah.
intrusive thought lyrics you have on Wolf and Goblin.
I see what
so
you mean.
So instead on Call Me If You Get Lost, you just get to have like a fun time. You get to hear DJ Drama yelling about eating pancakes on a plane in Switzerland.
Oh yeah, sounds we all awesome. Got our toes out too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I feel like Call Me If You Get Lost, it's definitely where Tyler had the most fun making it. You can, like, feel that.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Literally
yeah.
feel his smile behind these bars.
Like, exactly.
That you could, like, see him, like, laughing while he's doing this. And I gotta say, I think there's another track on this album that gets overlooked a lot that is just, like, such... It slaps so hard, and it's gotta be Lemonhead featuring 42 Doug.
Oh, mm-hmm. man.
42 Doug's a verse on that is insane. I love how he gets rappers who would not fit in this, like... this alt-rap kind of vibe, and he just, like, he's like, why don't you go ahead and shine on this for me real quick?
42 exactly. Doug was coming onto the scene, did this feature,
and blew
everyone was like, oh, he's so good. Well, he didn't disappear. He said, like, I can't remember exactly what it was, but I remember him saying or doing something just crazy.
Oh, he got, like, canceled?
Oh, in a big way.
I don't even remember this.
No, oh, I don't remember that.
I gotta Google
yeah,
this.
Yeah, you gotta look that up.
42 Doug canceled. But anyways, while I'm doing that, let's continue to talk about Call Me If You Get Lost.
Yeah, well, this, so fun fact about this and, I guess, Igor. I had tickets to go see, like, the Igor tour.
The Igor tour?
And wow. then I couldn't make it. But I did get tickets to see Call Me If You Get Lost. And that I've never seen so much like stage production. He rides a boat through the middle of the crowd to stage B.
I could imagine. You know what? Tyler is the type, just from listening to his projects, that he really does like to put his all into the production of it. You know what I mean? It's just the overall outcome of it. And I could see him doing that with his concert. I've never been to a Tyler concert, but it is top of my list.
It's wild, man. It's wild.
A little side comment here. He got canceled for saying homophobic things after being on a Tyler Creator record, which is insane.
Yeah. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah, what was going on there? But even then, I think he also like went to jail, and that was also like a big thing that like slowed him down a lot.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Police in Detroit.
He fumbled.
Yeah,
he fumbled crazy.
Because I love his verse on that song, and I was like, and I didn't really know him that well. I knew he had a few songs that were kind of big in like the trap community at that time, but then when he came out, that I was like, oh my god, this guy's awesome. Like,
right, and Lemonhead, I remember, was the lead single from this project before it came out. Lemonhead came first, and I remember listening to it. And being, I liked it at first, but I was very confused to see where Tyler was going to go with the rest of this album. Because it doesn't sound, when Lemonhead, doesn't sound like anything off of Igor. Doesn't sound like anything off of Flower Boy. It sounded, instrumentation-wise, a little bit like some of that Goblin and Wolf kind of stuff. But Tyler has changed and he's not rapping about the same things anymore.
Well, we got to talk about the way he closes out this album. Well, not, I guess not this album, the deluxe album, Sorry Not Sorry.
Oh, well, a beautifully emotional song.
I can't even wrap my head. The music video for that.
When you have DJ Drama yelling, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. No, but the music video where he's literally killing off his like different personas from like the previous albums. And what's really interesting is that at the beginning of the video, you see a man in a suit. You don't see his face. He's got a green suit on. He opens this door. It's like this military general guy.
I never thought about this. And lets him in.
That green suit comes back with his newest album, Chromacopia. And it's, I mean, I don't know if it's just a theory or if it's intentionally planned, but
I would say, knowing how meticulous he is about the characters that he creates and the albums that he puts together and his, like, identity, I would say that's very much, like, a planned thing. Yeah. Also, that one last thing I want to mention about Call Me If You Get Lost, that's where the Tizo Touchdown cosign comes in.
Oh, big time, bless too. You, Tizo Touchdown, oh, man.
Who is a favorite of mine now.
Oh, yeah,
I found him
so
from
good.
Call Me If You Get Lost.
Him, yeah, like, when he opened for Tyler on that tour, and he had the most insane stage presence I've ever seen. And I think it was like, was that his first tour? And he was opening for Tyler?
Yeah.
That's wild.
I mean, I love Tizo Touchdown. I hope we get to do a deep dive of Tizo Touchdown.
Oh, that would
be fun.
Because there's not much to talk
that.
About yet, but we could make it.
I can make something to talk about.
He's an artist that has a lot of artistry with it, like Tyler does. You know, he pulls from so many influences in so many styles. And that's why their pairing together is so great on this, and also his newest project as
well. Yeah, I think the deluxe of Call Me If You Get Lost was planned at a great time. It came out in 2023 for a reason. I think when we're talking about the Sorry Not Sorry music video and that kind of like little hint at what's coming next, I think when you consider that he waited 2 years to put out that deluxe, that's probably why he did that.
Yeah, yeah.
To ensure that, like, okay, here's this little hint, this little Easter egg, because the Tyler Creator, like, his fan base is very much, like, the type to, like, study into everything and, like, be super, like, what was this? What do you mean by this? Like, things like that. So I think it definitely makes sense for him to have that little hint there.
That's true. They might be, I hate to say it, they might be the Swifties of rap.
Maybe.
It could be. I mean, maybe Kanye.
Yeah,
maybe
I was going to say,
Kanye.
Yeah, probably Kanye.
It's funny enough, but it's Kanye.
Cause, next up.
Because it's crazy that, like, and this is just a little aside here, but, like, no matter how off the deep end Kanye goes, his fans are still riding for him.
That's true.
Which is wild.
That's true.
But now it's time to talk about his most recent release and the one that probably is the reason why we're talking about him here today.
Yeah, how are you guys feeling about it?
Chromacopia. I'm a big fan of it.
Yeah,
for me, it's a great record.
It's pretty good. Honestly, first listen, I was like, oh, this is good. And then, like, second listen, I was like, all right, I get it. It took me a few just because, like, I'm so used to there being, like, an aesthetic that's more than just, like, the color green and a suit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Man, it's great.
What I like a lot about this record is it mixes a lot of the best parts of what I like about Tyler, the Creator.
Yeah,
like it has those like songs that'll make you just like, like that goes crazy.
Yeah, it
has
those like permanent stank face going.
But then it also has these beautiful introspective songs like Him.
Yeah, this is like definitely his most vulnerable he's ever been on a project. Like, I mean, you started seeing signs with like Flower Boy, and I mean, I feel like this is like the peak vulnerability as of right now, I guess. But yeah, like you said, like Him, the voicemail at the end from Tyler's mom, I can't believe that was on there.
Yeah, I'm surprised too. That seems like something you want to keep.
That's serious, especially when, okay, if anyone's listening to this and they don't know, the voicemail Tyler's mom leaves at this end of the album, she's basically saying like, that his dad wanted to have a relationship with him, but she was kind of pushing him out of their life, which is wild because Tyler has so many songs from the past, like Answer, or I think it was Seven off of his first mixtape,
right?
Where he's talking about like he hates his dad and like he like abandoned him and stuff. And it's like seeing that unfold, like, I mean, basically in real time, and then for it to like reach this point, hearing that on the album was like the most shocking thing ever.
It was.
And it's like, I also wonder how long he's known. Like, I wonder if this was a recent thing that he found out to put on this record, or if he's known for a good amount of time, and that's why maybe part of his like turn away from this like shock value and this like crazy like way that he talks about himself and his family, maybe that's why it settled down a little bit. It's really hard to tell, but maybe he started to become a little more introspective and a little more like, I should probably stop like going crazy and saying these things about the people around me, because like,
right, you never
I don't know everything.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I guess so. Exactly. And I feel like that in couple with that, maybe that's what almost prompted him to make some of these back half tracks on this album, because like we said earlier, Tyler's very vulnerable on this album, but it's not vulnerable in the way that he was before. We see sprinkles of his vulnerability throughout his discography, but depending on what era you're in, some of those moments of vulnerability come off as anger. Some of them come off as he's resenting something. Some of them come off as he's just jealous. But here, his vulnerability comes off mature. For I think probably the first time in his career, he delivers a mature project through and through. And you, I mean, you really hear that on songs like Take Off Your Mask, other songs like I Killed You. He's talking about himself with this in a very introspective and like reflective way.
Yeah, I think a big theme of this album is acceptance and him beginning to accept who he is and like who his family is, the people around him. I think he's struggling a lot with fame, as he shows in the first half with like Noid. He's talking a lot about like, I really don't enjoy all of this stuff that I'm getting from being famous. I can't even buy a house without people like stalking me. And then you also see like in that back half, we're talking about like his vulnerability. I think something that I've thought about since I first heard this record was how funny it was to go from like him to Balloon.
Oh,
to
yeah.
me is so funny.
Oh,
because
totally.
You have Dochi's verse.
That was,
which is the funniest verse on the whole thing.
I'm not a reaction video guy. But when I heard that transition, I had to go, like, I don't know. I had to go look at, like, some reaction video, because, like, it's so, like, hilarious, that silly Roblox beat.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Also, like, if we're talking about, like, reaction videos, there's no bigger reaction video moment from this record than Sticky.
No.
When the album comes out, there's no features announced. You don't know who's a feature on it, so you're just listening to it and being shocked every time there is one. And Lord, if there are not some crazy features on this.
I'm so mad that Lil Wayne verse is like
short.
It's the shortest.
Four bars.
Yeah.
I don't even care though, because he shines the whole time. It's
he
fantastic.
Does. He does.
While I would love it for it to be longer, it's also awesome to see how long he has maintained work with Lil Wayne. He had it on Call Me If You Get Lost. He had it on
Smuckers.
Yeah, on Cherry Bomb. I believe there's even a Lil Wayne feature on Flower Boy. I might be wrong on that.
Yeah, Dropping Seeds.
Yeah.
There is.
I mean, he's had one on
everything
every record
except for
Igor.
Yeah.
And like his earlier stuff. But since Cherry Bomb, he's
had shocking
one.
To me that he has more like collaboration, or he has more features from Lil Wayne than like Kanye or Pharrell. I don't know.
Well, I guess putting Kanye on an album now is kind of out of the question.
Yeah, that's true. He did on a Call Me If You Get Lost, though, right? Was he on
No, he was on Igor.
Igor?
Kanye was on Igor. I don't think he was on Call Me If You Get Lost. I think Kanye was in a little bit better of a point socially in 2021 than he is now.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that. But
just
in terms,
when you think it can get worse.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And there's another pretty good Tizo touchdown feature on this one. Love it.
Darling Eye. And I feel like that's got to be one of my favorite songs on this project. And it's basically, this is what we were kind of talking about when Tyler is mature in that way. Because he's talking about himself in that he wants to fall in love. He wants a relationship. But he can't find anyone that's going to fulfill him as much as music does.
Yeah.
And that's just a very real realization to have.
It makes, just listening to, we've been talking about it the entire time. But his, creativity it runs so deep in everything he does that, it makes sense.
It does.
Yeah, I also think he has this idea that he doesn't want to be slowed down. He likes his life where he can do what he wants when he wants to do it.
Exactly.
And I think that's why you see him struggle so much on tracks like Judge Judy or Hey Jane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mostly Hey Jane.
Oh, those are two crazy good songs.
Yeah, and the first listen when I heard Hey Jane, I was like, this is... Wow. This is what I was kind of expecting from a new Tyler record, just following that same theme of him becoming more mature, him talking more, being more vulnerable. And so when he talks about having a scare of oh, this girl's could be pregnant, and then her being like, "No, I'm going to no matter what happens, I'm going to take care of this by myself and I don't want your help."
Yeah.
Yeah, and, which I mean, I'm not sure when that whole moment happened in his life, but the idea of that happening before him knowing that his dad was trying to be in his life, that's a terrifying thought. Having a child, I guess, who
doesn't know their father.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And feeling like you've kind of repeated the cycle.
Yeah, man. It's
which definitely
connected.
Sucks. But it's really not clear, obviously, when that occurred.
Yeah.
No.
Or even if it's a real thing. Not that I think he'd just write about some random thing just cause, but I don't know. You never know.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a beautiful track. I love Hey Jane. Judge Judy's really good. He talks too a lot about how he feels like he's getting really old. He's getting old and I don't have a kid.
It bummed me out, man.
It does. But if you think about it, though, we're going on 15 years since his first mixtape came out.
But his first mixtape came out when he was, 17?
Yeah, he's, 32.
Yeah,
he's not that old.
He's not that old. But he has... But that just means, though, that if that came out when he was 17, most of his life he's been in the limelight. He's been making music. He's been at the forefront of his career and just expanding on it and expanding his talents. And that's been his focus, and that's... Again, circling back, comes through with Darling Eye. This is his focus. And if music really is his first and only love, it shows, because this project through and through is pretty dang amazing.
Yeah. Well, Sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
No, you go for it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Uh-huh. I think you have a lot of beautiful tracks. Obviously, on Igor, you have a lot of songs that are just gutting and this beautiful instrumentation and beautiful vocals. And I feel like here you have him. And to me, that song is just... It's hard to listen to, genuinely.
Exactly.
It's it makes me very, very sad. It's
exactly.
It's a tough one. It's a really hard one to get through.
It's almost like Chromacopia is a Flower Boy Part 2 in sense. In the sense that this is a narratively driven album with great instrumentation and lyrics that revolve mostly around himself. If Igor was a narrative ballad where he's telling a story, Call Him and Get Lost was his bar fest and he's flexing on everything. This is him returning to an update to his fans on how he's been doing as a person.
So, I mean, out of all of these albums that we've listed here, what do you guys think your favorite album? Like I said earlier, there's two. I feel like with Tyler, there's two things: your favorite album and then your favorite era.
For me, album, it's got to be Igor. And era, it's got to be Wolf. And I think Wolf is the unanimous answer for era, but I think that's where his swagger was off the charts.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
I hate to say swagger in the year 2024, but
there's no other way to say it.
That's what you would have said in 2014 when that album came out.
2012,
I think it was. But yeah, I mean, for me, my favorite Tyler project is probably Flower Boy. I'll just get the top three. Flower Boy, Igor, Call Me Get Lost. But my favorite, it would be Wolf for my favorite era, just because of that same reason. Yeah. But if I had to pick another, that Flower Boy era was sweet. Oh, and it's because
the Save the Bees hoodie.
Exactly.
Jeans. Yep. You know it.
And everybody was cuffing their jeans because of that, you know. And that was, like you were saying, like the first era of Tyler's that I was really like around for and listening and a part of.
I was actually trying to dress like that. Like that was the first time where I was actually trying
You and
to
me
do
both.
That.
I bared witness to Ashton trying to dress like that.
Yeah, we all remember it.
You guys both got your jeans cuffed right now.
Oh, you call me out on it.
Yeah, we're both wearing Vans and Converse. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Dude, we're checking all the boxes. Yeah. I've got a little denim bomber jacket like the old Golf Wang one right there.
I got a sweater on right now. I'm rocking my Flower Boy Aero fit to a T right now.
Hell yeah.
The influence runs deep, man.
Yeah, I gotta say, if I'm doing like my top three albums, for me, it's gotta be Igor, Flower Boy, and then probably it's either Call Me If You Get Lost or Chromacopia. I need to give Chromacopia more time, though. Yeah.
I do as well, but it's definitely up there in those three or four spots.
To me, and it's not because I dislike the albums, I still, Cherry Bomb's my least favorite. But I still don't really hate it.
You like Goblin more than Cherry Bomb?
Yeah.
Whoa. I don't know if I'd go that far, to be honest.
Yeah, I do.
That's wild.
I think Goblin's better than Cherry Bomb. I think Wolf is a close, like, fourth, fifth. I love Wolf. But to me, it just is not the same artistically as the rest. It doesn't fit those same boxes. What about your guys' favorite three?
I gotta say, my top three, I would say, man, I'll be honest, it's Flower Boy or Wolf. I couldn't tell you which one. And then I guess third place would probably go to Igor, just because I have to recognize that that's his most cohesive. Like, it all blends together so nicely, and the production choices on there are like amazing. Yeah, that's got to take my third.
How about individual tracks? What are you guys' top three?
Two Seater.
Wow, interesting pick. Yeah,
Two Seater.
That's a great song.
Party Isn't Over. That like three part one. And then man, like, a part of me wants to say Boredom, but Smuckers has to be on that top three. So
that's completely
big
fair.
Big Cherry Bomb fan.
I am, man. It's
I think
good.
I'm about to have a crazy hot take with my top three.
I'm horrified. Okay.
So that's crazy.
I'm sorry.
So a lot of my top three actually comes from Igor and Flower Boy. I would say my number one is probably Are We Still Friends?
Oh, that's understandable. Totally,
that's not my hot take yet. You'll know it when I get there.
Oh, no.
But I love that track. It's so fantastic. It's so beautiful. I love that one. And then I got to say my number two is probably Boredom or See You Again. It's something from Flower Boy. It's just hard. It's always hard to pick one for me.
Oh, okay. What's the third?
The third? Hot Wind Blows off of Call Me If You Get Lost with Lil Wayne.
No, that's
you
not
know
crazy.
What? Lil Wayne on that song goes ridiculous.
Me, yeah, I love
He's
that track.
He's ridiculous on that song. I love it, too.
That's not crazy.
I thought maybe that'd be like kind of a crazy top three pick. I love that song.
That's a good top three.
We all have very different top threes. I like it. I'd say mine goes IFHY off of Wolf, number one.
Yeah.
I love the way that song just like
generational.
Just starts angry and he's just... It tells a story.
And it gets kind of like pretty at the end. It's like, yeah.
I love it. It's fantastic. Gone Gone Thank You is probably going to be that number two.
It's such a beautiful track. I was going through some things when that song came out, too. Yeah. So I was like, every day I was listening, I was like, man.
That's enough to kill a man.
Man, I'm never going to get out of this.
Exactly.
It doesn't get better.
And I'm a sucker for those long songs that just change throughout. Like, I love those kind of stuff. And I probably would say... You know what? I think there's been a theme for all three of us, but Boredom as well.
I'm so happy. Last night, in preparation for this, I was re-listening to, like, I knew I liked Flower Boy a lot, but it's been so long since I listened to it last, and I re-listened last night, and Boredom came on, and I was like, man, I forgot how good this
is. Boredom.
Oh, man. I'm happy that we've got appreciation for that song here.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and Rex Orange County absolutely kills it right there, too.
Yeah, I think... This is about the deepest we could have dived into Tyler Crater and way over the time limit.
Oh, yeah.
We dove pretty deep.
Yeah,
and I don't know how they'll cut this, so maybe you'll hear this. Probably not, though. But we have done our deep dive of Tyler Crater, and why don't you guys just listen to it all?
Yeah. That's,
I literally can't tell you, like... Anything else? If you don't want to listen to all of it, listen to three songs from every album. You'll get it.
Listen
good
to our top threes. In the order of the albums, and then find your favorite out of those. And if you like it, get into it, man. Yep. I mean, if it's never too late to jump on board of like that ship, man, it's great.
Exactly. You'll find Thing with Tyler is you'll find something for everybody there, and Tyler knows that, and yeah, he's doing a great job putting it all together.
And we all got our toes out, too.
We do.
We do.
Thanks for being here with us on Bonus Track. We need to go start some more Twitter drama. But in the meantime, check out all of WZND's other music content, like artist interviews and album reviews, on WZND.com.